Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It is Friday, a beautiful Friday here in Lansing. Michael Cohen here, 1320 WILS with Jesse Wiza, handling all our audio needs this evening. Thank you for joining us. On today's program, a new University of Michigan study looking into the financial state of U.S. households, and it's not a pretty picture. One in five now have more debt than savings. We'll get all the details later. And Harvard researchers finding that talking about ourselves is just as rewarding to the brain as food and money. While it explains a lot of human behavior, you will be amazed at just what people will give up to get a chance for self-disclosure. But first, now that President Obama was essentially outed by Vice President Biden and then officially announced this week that he supports same-sex marriage, what kind of impact will that have on the election? Will it fire up his base, or will it inspire conservatives who already oppose him to get out to the polls? To discuss all that, I'm joined by Gary Marks, the executive director of the Socially Conservative Faith and Freedom Coalition. Gary, thank you very much for joining us this evening here on 1320 WILS.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Michael. What a week we've had.
Indeed, an interesting one. A new USA Today Gallup poll finding that over 50% of Americans say that they approve of President Obama's position that when it comes to same-sex couples being allowed to marry. What do you think that says about the country's evolution on this issue?
Well, I think what really matters in polling is what likely voters think. You know, at the end of the day, this was a purely political decision that President Obama made to curry favor with specifically gay donors who he was counting on to fund his billion-dollar campaign. And, it was something that, you know, along with those gay donors who were kind of withholding funds, you know, he had Vice President Biden kind of, you know, it's almost like this bully situation in the playground, you know, where they're all coming around him saying, "You really are for gay marriage, right? Come on, President, you really are going to be with us. You're for gay marriage, right?"
Well, he finally had to go there. He never explicitly came out before this way, but it was pretty clear, certainly to conservatives, that he was generally in favor of the idea, was it not?
He seemed to be evolving, and the confusing part of this evolution is now he said he's for gay marriage, but then he's also said it's a state's rights issue and each state should decide. So on the one hand, he took a more, you know, kind of homosexual marriage friendly stance, but then on the other hand, he kind of stymied them by saying it's got to be a state's rights issue, and the Defense of Marriage Act then comes into play in a
sure.
very significant way.
Sure, and we'll talk about the court cases that are likely to be in the Supreme Court, but tell me, what do you say to the many Americans who are not gay, but they know someone in a same-sex relationship or have a family member who is gay, like former Vice President Dick mm-hmm. Cheney? He himself has a gay daughter and publicly endorsed gay marriage in 2009. Does his attitude reflect the direction the country is now heading?
Well, I think this is one of those scenarios where marriage has been a building block of the foundation of our society, and it means man and woman. That's the definition of the word marriage. There's no reason why civil unions, domestic partnerships can't specifically refer to that other relationship and provide all the legal rights and benefits that somebody needs in our society, whether it's hospital visitation rights and so forth. Nobody's saying that, you know, people shouldn't have all of those rights. What they're saying is, you know, it's not fair to heterosexuals to say, "I have to take that away from you. That's not something, you know, that to me seems like it's really fair to everybody else."
Well, let me ask you that, with the fact, you know, we have a 50% divorce rate here in the U.S., is it fair to say that homosexual relationships, whether married or not, that do not play a role in the fact that so many heterosexual marriages fall apart?
I think you're exactly right that, you know, the reason why that definition of marriage has been, you know, so degraded is because heterosexuals have been so bad at it. And really that's a perfectly fair argument and statement. They've been, you know, no example of what marriage should be. But what President Obama has really done here is he's always said he's about bringing people together. He's taken a divisive conservative, controversial issue in social policy, and he's injected it into the election in a way that nobody ever expected to happen, 6 months before people go to the polls.
Well,
I was really shocked.
We've certainly had gay marriage become a major issue in previous presidential elections. I'm talking to Gary Marks, the executive director of the Socially Conservative Faith and Freedom Coalition. Gary, now, as you know, there are these two cases that are likely to end up in the U.S. Supreme Court that will be the final say on the issue, one involving California's citizen-initiated constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. The other is the Defense of Marriage Act, which the Obama administration says it will no longer offer free legal defense for. What will happen if the court rules against both of these in both of these cases?
Obviously, the Supreme Court has become the final arbiter of every controversial issue in our country. That is why a lot of people have said we need to make sure that the people have the right to have this say in the Constitution. That's why they said that they ought to have a chance to vote on a constitutional amendment, just as we've seen 32 states now vote, 32 in a row, 32 out of 32 have voted to have the definition of marriage protected in their Constitution. If those cases go the other way at the Supreme Court, then you'd have that natural reaction to say, we need to allow the states to do that. So all that would mean is Congress would vote, and then it would go to the states, and three-fourths of the states would have to determine whether that should be in our definition in the Constitution or not.
Do you think this this issue on its own is going to play a role anywhere near the role it played in 2004 when ballot measures appeared in many key states, including Ohio, and many say it played a major factor in President Bush winning re-election? Would it be safe to say that with our economy being such a focus now, same-sex marriage will not take the same center stage position it took in 2004?
I think there's no disagreement with anybody that the economy is going to be the number one issue by far. No matter whether someone's socially conservative or not, everybody's saying the economy, spending, taxes, jobs, that's where their mindset is. So first and foremost, that's going to be on everyone's mind, no matter what demographic group you're talking about. But where it does come into play, it's going to be one of those what I call a tiebreaker kind of vote. If you're a conservative, religious, Hispanic family in Colorado or New Mexico, and you're pro-life and pro-marriage, but yet economically you've maybe voted for reasons of your job to be Democratic. Maybe this is one of those things that sways you and pushes over the edge, where you say, "Well, I'm not sure who's going to be better on the economy, Obama or Romney, but this is a case where my values mean so much to me, I might go out there and be for Romney where I wouldn't have been otherwise." Oh. It might be one of those tiebreaker votes and have some people just stay away and say, "I'm disappointed in President Obama. I can't believe that he would do that. I just can't go to the polls for him. I'm not going to be for Romney, but I might not go to the polls."
Well, on the other hand, don't you think a lot of the base that has been waiting for the president to be more upfront on a position that he's been hinting his position on, don't you think they're going to be equally, if not more, fired up to now go to the polls for him?
That's a very good point. We know that President Obama did this to fire up his base because they were not fired up. He did the Keystone Pipeline to fire up the environmental base, the GM bailout, that helps the union base. There's something, student loans, trying to deal with that to fire up the youth base. This is a base election to turn out one's base. He's not going after the independents with this move. This is not something to reach out to the middle. It is indeed that base vote. I have trouble seeing how he does better in turning out his base from 2008 to 2012. He's in a defensive posture with this decision, that's for sure.
I want to ask you, though, what is that saying about our country? We've certainly evolved as a country to a different way of viewing same-sex marriage now that over half of the U.S. believes that is something that should be allowed. And now that we have a president of the United States openly saying that he supports the idea, where does that mean the country is heading as a whole?
Certainly, a lot of the younger generations have said they think that it's a great idea. I always go back to, you got to be able to be voicing your opinion at the polls. And, you know, if you go to who the voters are, 32 out of 32 times, they've said traditional definition of marriage should be kept. I also always challenge the notion that all of these young people that are included, well, what happens when they do get married and what happens when they do have children of their own? You know, people tend to get more conservative, and I don't see why they couldn't come to the conclusion that there's a fair median to provide civil unions and legal protections through domestic partnerships, why that definition of marriage has to be changed. That doesn't seem like such a radical concept to me.
Finally, the tone in the election, we've seen some Republicans and right-wing talk radio now villainizing President Obama in these absolute terms. Do you think that works? We saw Democrats attacking President Bush in the same over-the-top fashion. Is it necessarily the right way to go about it, or does a more subtle approach maybe potentially work with voters?
Mm-hmm. We are very tough on him in terms of the issues. You know, we talk about, we think that his policies have led to a war on religious faith. That doesn't mean a particular faith, just faith practice in general. You know, we've talked about, you know, we think he hasn't been a friend to Israel like he should have. We've been tough on him with our language about the issues, but the personal stuff about, you know, where he was born and being a Muslim and those kind of things, to me, that crosses the line. And campaigns need to be about being for something, not just being against someone. John Kerry ran an entire campaign just on anger and being mad at Bush, and that didn't attract the kind of support one needs. They have to have an agenda, a forward-looking agenda. You know, Mitt Romney needs to be practicing the politics of addition, not subtraction. He needs to have a forward-looking economic agenda that talks about uniting the country and I think restoring America's greatness on the world stage. I think that would draw a bright contrast to how Obama talks about things and sees things. But he doesn't need to be talking about, you know, his religious faith or where he was born or who his father was.
Do you think,
yeah, those kind of things.
Do you think that social conservatives who are still unsure about Mitt Romney are justified to look at his record and think twice about really how socially conservative he really is?
I think every step of the way through this primary process, Mitt Romney has had to earn his way. He attracted a third of all social conservative voters through this process. And I think he made sure the door was open for the Newt Gingrich and Santorum voters to be able to come over his way. I think the polls are already showing that 90% of evangelicals are already behind him. And this type of decision will only bring the rest of them over. You know, ones that may still have some concerns and still be smarting from a tough primary process are going to say, you know, I may not be 100% for this guy, but I know 100% I can't risk staying at home because I can't risk four more years of Barack Obama. Mm-hmm. Where would we be economically? And now this raises back the question, where will we be socially? 4 years ago, he talked a lot about wanting to reduce abortions. He was for the traditional definition of marriage. He wanted solutions for the faith-based institutions providing for the poor. Mm-hmm. I think most of those promises have been unfulfilled, and in this case, it's been a direct flip-flop, and it's really an unanticipated gift to the Romney campaign to help them unite evangelicals for their campaign.
We'll certainly see where we go from here. Gary Marks, Executive Director of Faith and Freedom Coalition. Gary, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
Thanks a lot. Anytime.
We're coming right back to talk about the latest U of M study on the state of households here in the U.S. It's not a pretty picture, but we'll get the details next. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.